Welcome to Brighttown Broadcast News for Thursday, September 21st, 2023. Mike Adams here. Thank you for joining me. And I no longer recognize this country. It's not the country I grew up in. Probably you share the same thing. I mean, we are living under the KGB, complete tyranny, censorship, rigged elections, rigged circuit courts, you know, rigged judicial system, and debt that's completely out of control. And we've got a lot of news for you today about this. And there are some major events taking place right now involving Ukraine and Poland and Russia and Europe and some other major events as well that we're going to get to. But I have to tell you, this is becoming the dystopian, dark sci-fi future that we always thought was just fiction. And now it's real. It's here. I mean, wait till you hear some of the headlines we have today. It'll blow your mind. But I'm starting out on the website usdebtclock.org, noticing that the U.S. national debt is now over $33 trillion. Unbelievable. Unreal. $33 trillion. And if you look at the progression of this debt, it's on a parabolic rise. It's a blowout curve. And this is going to end in catastrophe. If you look back to, let's say, the 1980s, it was, you know, at some point there in the early 80s, it was about $1 trillion in debt. That's total national debt, as it's called, from the U.S. Treasury. At about 1990, it was maybe $4 trillion. And then around the year 2000, it was about $6 trillion. And then when Obama got in 2008, an easy way to remember this is it started, well, the election was 2008, started at about $8 trillion. That's where it was. And then after Obama's 8 years of total destruction of America, bringing us to 2016, again, the election was in 2016, we were at roughly $16 trillion in debt, a little bit more, actually, but that's an easy way to remember it. And then, of course, Trump came in, and under Trump, the debt continued to rise at a pretty steady pace to the year 2020, bringing us to about $24 trillion. So Trump continued the same pace of Obama, which is really about $2 trillion a year added roughly to the national debt. And then since Biden stole the election and took office, then it's exploded. So it went from about $24 trillion to now $33 trillion. That's $9 trillion in just, what, 3 years or so. So now it's increasing at about $3 trillion a year. And that's going to go even higher. The interest on the national debt is now double the total budget for defense spending. And the interest on the debt is going to rise to almost $2 trillion a year. Now, remember that the IRS and the government only collects about $5 trillion in taxes, both personal and corporate taxes. So $2 trillion out of $5 trillion, or 40% of the tax revenues, are going to be spent on interest on the debt. And that's going to, of course, continue to skyrocket to the point where the system collapses. We're very, very close to the system collapsing. Now, of course, as fiat currencies head toward collapse, governments become more tyrannical because they have to exercise coercion and control by force in order to maintain power, since their policies are so unpopular and so destructive. And Merrick Garland had a hearing in Congress yesterday, you know, the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, who is one of the most evil, twisted, lawless individuals to have ever thrust his rotten flesh upon the seat of that office. And members of our Congress gave him a spanking, including Representative Victoria Spartz. And in fact, Victoria Spartz, who is from Ukraine originally, she immigrated from Ukraine. And on the public record, in public view, she told Merrick Garland that his actions in the DOJ now resembled the KGB. And I wanted you to hear a little bit of that. So we're going to play a little bit of Representative Victoria Spartz, who came to America thinking America was free and now is finding that the American government is the KGB. Check it out.
You know, FBI agent to people's houses. You had in my district, in my town, FBI phone numbers all over the district. Please call. Call that. People are truly afraid. I just want to make sure if you're not aware that you are. And this is a big problem when people are afraid of their own government. And I'll share some other things. We're talking about justice system. I don't question, you're probably not a bad person. I don't know you. But what I'll tell you, you're in charge of the department. And people right now feel, you know, I look at Durham report and I call on the FISA violations of queries of millions of Americans, right? It's like KGB. But when I read Durham reports, we have this, you have a nice, you know, playbook. First, let's have a special counsel, and then you don't have to answer any questions here. Then, let's extend slow walk investigation on Hillary Clinton, on Hunter. Everything is slow walk. We were very quick on Donald Trump, but you were very slow walk. Then, by the time you know that investigation and its statute of limitation expired, and all of your agents need to be tested for amnesia. No one recalls anything. Okay, you probably should have as part of your hiring policy. So no one held accountable, which was egregious, what happened, you know, in that report. When I read about them, I can't believe it happened in the United States of America. This is my frustration. I'll be honest with you. Then it's very interesting, you know, regardless what it is, even people in Obama administration raise concerns. You know, how can President Sons be serving on, you know, corrupt Ukrainian oligarchs? Do you understand that it actually can undermine the one Ukrainian effort and policy? I think these concerns were raised. The Obama administration didn't do anything about it. These people are dying right now, and Americans don't trust this president.
So you hear the passion and the frustration in her voice. And isn't it interesting that in 2023, Representative Victoria Spartz sounds like Alex Jones in 2017, let's say. Right? I mean, Alex is just years ahead. But eventually, everybody comes around and realizes that what Alex was warning about is absolutely true. Or what I've been warning about, or others in the alternative media. Absolutely true. We're living under a KGB. Just abject tyranny. Freedom of speech no longer even recognized by our own government. An absolute monetary blowout. Printing money to fund the CIA to run propaganda psyops against our own people. Criminalizing your political enemies, throwing them in filthy jails in D.C. without trial. Charged with crimes that carry 20 years sentences merely for peacefully protesting a rigged election that was indeed rigged. And then you have these people like A.G. Merrick Garland, who is part of this evil cabal, this regime of authoritarians who have no regard whatsoever for the Constitution, for individual liberty. They want to destroy America. They are undermining it on purpose. And yet, because of rigged elections and the actions of Democrats and the corporate media, they can get away with it time and time again. Well, I'm here to tell you, this system, it's coming down. And if you didn't hear my interview yesterday with Jeffrey Prather, it's highly recommended that you go back to that and you give that a listen, because that was some hard-hitting intel from Jeffrey Prather, former DIA, top secret clearance, you know, government operative, and then a whistleblower. Who worked with the FBI, who worked with the DOJ, who ran cross-border operations in dangerous places like Caracas, Venezuela, and so on. You need to listen to that interview, because Jeffrey Prather knows exactly how this goes, because he's seen it. He saw it in Venezuela. And what's happening in America is following the same path as Venezuela. And let me give you another example of the insanity that is taking over our society, the complete takeover of the judicial system, the media, government, entertainment, all of it. Here's a story out of NPR. And here's the headline. At new mental health courts in California, judges will be able to mandate treatment. What? Under the new system, the story says, family members and first responders can ask county judges to order people with, quote, psychotic illness into treatment. Oh, and what is treatment? Well, of course, psychiatric drugging, electroshock therapy, who knows, maybe lobotomies even. And it goes on, it says, even if they are not unhoused, that is homeless, or haven't committed a crime. Quote, a judge will determine if a person meets criteria for the program and may oversee, which means to mandate, a care agreement, which means treatment with psychiatric drugs, or compel a treatment plan. And that treatment plan could include involuntary commitment. So they can imprison you, even if you've committed no crime, against your will, and they can subject you to psychiatric treatments if they simply state that you have a, quote, psychotic illness. But here's the catch. What do the courts and the Democrats believe is a, quote, psychotic illness? Oh, yeah, climate denialism, they would call it. If you don't agree with the climate lunatics, the climate cultists, or if you don't agree with transgenderism, which is pure insanity, pretending that a man can become a woman or that a man can give birth, then you're psychotic. You're labeled psychotic, and you can be dragged into a treatment plan against your will. Or what if you happen to be a Trump supporter or a Christian? You believe in God. Well, the courts in California can say that that's psychosis. They might claim if you believe in Jesus or a God, you know, something must be wrong with your mind. You must be mentally ill. And thus, if you quote the Bible, they can throw you into an involuntary psychiatric ward and they can fry your brain with chemicals and potentially even electroshock therapy. And it's all perfectly legal under these new laws in California. So, folks, you understand, when I have said that it's time to flee California, or at least the West Coast cities, I'm not joking. They're going to round up political dissidents and call them mentally ill, which is exactly what Stalin did in the old Soviet Union. So part of the Stalinist revolution involved this. You just declare your political enemies to be mentally ill, and then you, quote, treat them with involuntary incarceration in mental illness institutions, which are just prisons with more drugs. And that's how it's done. This has already been done in history. And California is marching down the exact same path of communism. Now, of course, to be considered mentally well by the Democrat-controlled courts, or to be considered mentally stable by the institutions of society, you have to actually demonstrate mass mental illness by agreeing that a man can become a woman and agreeing that carbon dioxide is a pollutant. And you have to go along with whatever insanity they're pushing. And the latest example of this will blow your mind. Now, do you recall, was it a week ago or so, when I reported that Bill Gates is purchasing 70 million acres of trees across America? And his job is to kill those trees, to cut them down, and to bury them in order to save the planet. You know, it's now killing the trees is how you fight climate change, apparently. And I did a whole podcast on that. And it's utterly insane, right? But this is what the left, the climate cult, has come to. It's like, let's cut down millions of acres of trees. That's going to save the planet. That's going to, you know, keep the planet, prevent the planet from global warming and all this. Now, here's a headline out of the Epoch Times. California awarded $100 million from the federal government to plant trees to combat extreme heat, which is all about being related to climate change. So now the federal government has $1 billion in funding that's allocated across all 50 states. Having the states plant more trees, quote, in an effort to cool rising temperatures and fight climate change. Does the federal government know that Bill Gates is cutting down trees to fight climate change? And how can both of these things be true? This is insane. It's the very definition of insanity. But it's also Bidenomics. And Biden launched a new climate core. I think he calls it shaped after like the Green New Deal, this climate core. And he's going to have all the, maybe it's like a Hitler Youth climate lunatics or something. Going to have all these young people run around the country doing things like planting trees or perhaps cutting down trees, depending on which day it is. Like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you plant them. Tuesday, Thursday, and the weekends, you cut them down. This is Bidenomics. This is how economies work in insane, collapsing, authoritarian regimes. But literally, we live in a country now where the government is paying states to plant trees while the people advising the government on COVID are buying forests to cut down trees, and they both claim that it's to save the planet from climate change. Now, obviously, both of these things can't be true. You can't, if growing trees is good for preventing climate change, then cutting them down can't also be good at preventing climate change. And by the way, I guess this is Joe Biden's full employment plan. Anybody who needs a job can be hired to either cut down trees or plant trees one way or another, and that way we can have full employment. And so there's just going to be a bunch of lunatics running around the country just cutting down trees and planting trees, and they're going to talk about how awesome this is, how good this is for the economy. And don't forget, by the way, that a lot of these wind farm projects are clear-cutting millions of acres of trees. You know, they have to make way for the wind farms. You can't have forests in the way. So they cut down forests to build the wind turbines. And then they say it's all green. So I guess forests are bad. But trees in the city are okay, but not large forests out there in the countryside. Those have to be cut down to save the planet. This is the kind of insanity I'm talking about. I mean, we're living in idiocracy. But, you know, it's more than that. We're living in such a dangerous environment of government extremism, of government terrorism. Government's gone rogue. Here's another example of that. This was authored by Jonathan Turley. Remember Jacinda Ardern, the former prime minister of New Zealand? She says the UN has to, quote, crack down on free speech as a weapon of war. She says that free speech is a weapon of war, and that we have to have international censorship. Now, she says that we can't allow free speech to get into the way of fighting things like climate change. Yeah, and her solution, as Jonathan Turley writes, is to silence those with opposing views. That's it. She says free speech is a weapon of war. And of course, governments controlling speech is the answer to everything. And Harvard praised her for, quote, strong and empathetic political leadership. And they've enlisted her to help, quote, improve content standards and platform accountability for extremist content online. Now, again, what is extremist content? Anything the government doesn't want you to know, right? So extremist content is telling the truth about how plants need carbon dioxide. That's considered extremism now, to have knowledge of botany or photosynthesis. That's extreme. Photosynthesis. How dare you talk about sunlight, carbon dioxide, and water? you're such an extremist. So universities all over the world now consider free speech to be harmful, dangerous. And of course, governments consider it to be now a weapon of war. And yet, it's the governments, of course, that are lying constantly. And as another shocking example of how governments collude with big tech to silence people that they don't want to have a voice, Glenn Greenwald sent out some tweets commenting on Russell Brand, who, as you know, has been accused of sexual misconduct with four anonymous women, I believe, from 10 or 15 years ago. He has not been accused of any criminal conduct. He has not been charged with a crime. He has not been indicted with any crime. He's not appeared in court. And yet, the British government is pressuring TikTok to demonetize Russell Brand to make sure that he can't earn any money on TikTok because he's got like 2.5 million followers there. So Glenn Greenwald writes, and he's showing a letter that was written by the UK Parliament to the TikTok company and also was sent to Rumble, by the way. So with the below letter to TikTok from the UK Parliament, they sent a similar letter to Rumble demanding that Rumble deplatform and demonetize Russell Brand, a citizen who has not been charged with, let alone convicted of, any crimes. And in the letter from the UK Parliament to TikTok, it says, while we recognize that TikTok is not the creator of the content published by Mr. Brand, and his content may be within the community guidelines set out by the platform, we are concerned that he may be able to profit from his content on the platform. What? You see, their concern is that he's still earning money by working to produce content. They don't want him to be able to make any money. They go on, quote, we would be grateful if you would confirm whether Mr. Brand is able to monetize his TikTok posts, including his videos relating to the serious accusations against him, and what the platform is doing to ensure that creators are not able to use the platform to undermine the welfare of victims of inappropriate and potentially illegal behavior. This is unreal. Again, Russell Brand has merely been accused by people who could have easily been paid off. And yet, they're talking about how there are victims of potentially illegal behavior. What victims? What crimes? What charges? They're making it all up. But they're pressuring TikTok to demonetize Russell Brand. Why? Because Russell Brand has been red-pilling people. He's been telling the truth. And let me say, by the way, as the founder of Brighteon.com, a platform where content creators can receive tips from users in cryptocurrency, including privacy crypto, by the way, such as Monero, I would never ban Russell Brand just because some government sends me a letter. Oh, how dare you let him earn money? Ah, screw you, UK Parliament. I mean, he has no right to freedom of speech? I mean, this is why we created the Bill of Rights in the United States and left the UK because of the extreme tyranny there. Glenn Greenwald asks, since when do Western political officials have the power to impose extra legal punishment on people for alleged crimes they've never been charged with? What gives US and UK officials the right to demand that tech companies remove or demonetize speakers? And then here's Rumble's response to the despotic demands of the UK Parliament, demonstrating Rumble's willingness to take a stand for free speech. And of course, I give Rumble a big thumbs up on this. And they say, quote, again, this is Rumble's response, quote, we regard it as deeply inappropriate and dangerous that the UK Parliament would attempt to control who is allowed to speak on our platform or to earn a living from doing so. Singling out an individual and demanding his ban is even more disturbing given the absence of any connection between the allegations and his content on Rumble. We don't agree with the behavior of many Rumble creators, but we refuse to penalize them for actions that have nothing to do with our platform. We emphatically reject the UK Parliament's demands. Yes, thank God. Good job, Rumble. And I second that opinion here on Brighteon.com as well. I would tell UK Parliament, go pound sand. But look at what our world is coming to. And this is very similar, by the way, to the whole disinformation dozen that you heard about during COVID, which named, you know, Dr. Mercola and Ty and Charlene Bollinger and a bunch of other people, the disinformation dozen. They're so dangerous. They're responsible for misinformation. That's what we heard. All made up, all fabricated by some kind of digital hate group, which is really just a proxy for government censorship collusion with big tech. And the truth is coming out about all that. These are rogue governments, the UK government and the US government, that are pressuring big tech to silence people because of their viewpoints, because of the content of their speech, even when they've been accused of no crimes or not even charged with any crimes. Yet, big tech is ordered to deplatform them. And then these same governments tell us that they're defending liberal democracy around the world, and we have to make sure Ukraine wins because otherwise, you know, gosh, if Russia takes over Ukraine, it might fall to tyranny. You mean the tyranny that already exists in the UK and the United States and Canada and New Zealand and Australia? I mean, talk about tyranny. We're living under tyranny. You know, how dare you pretend that you're protecting liberal democracy and freedom and justice and the rule of law and election integrity? No, you're not. You governments are the terrorists. You are the liars. You are the propagandists. You are the source of misinformation and disinformation about COVID, about vaccines, about bioweapons, about the war, about everything, economics, inflation, you know, the rigged inflation numbers. While you keep printing fake fiat currency that's stealing purchasing power from the people. The governments are the thieves. The governments are the terrorists. The governments are the liars. The governments are the propagandists. And if we were to shut down disinformation, it would mean defunding the governments. Now, speaking of defunding, here's a story from The Hill. Senator Rand Paul will hold up any spending stopgap that includes Ukraine funding. He announced Wednesday that he's going to hold up any funding bill to keep the government open past September 30th if it includes funding for the war in Ukraine. He says, "Today I'm putting congressional leadership and the president on notice that I will oppose any effort to hold the federal government hostage for Ukraine funding. I will not consent to expedited passage of any spending measure that provides any more U.S. aid to Ukraine." He wrote that on Twitter. Now, Biden is asking for another $24 billion for Ukraine, on top of the $113 billion already. Not a dime to protect the U.S. border. Not a dime. The illegals are flooding into Texas. Eagle Pass. They're flooding across the river. They're flooding into California and Arizona. Biden doesn't give a crap about our borders or our freedoms or our democracy. But we need another $24 billion for Ukraine's border protection to stop the invasion there. Well, what about the invasion happening in America? And by the way, Ukraine is losing the support of many Republicans in Congress, not just in the Senate, but also in the House. It's not looking good. In fact, this is why Zelensky is on a begging tour to the United States right now. I think he's on his way over and he's begging for more money. And as this is happening, you know, there have been so many failures with the counteroffensive and so on. And by the way, remember the tranny monster creature spokesperson for Ukraine that was threatening to hunt, we're going to hunt down people, and was saying that Putin like drinks the blood of children and all this crazy stuff. Yeah, that person has been suspended, apparently, by Ukraine's government, which is very interesting because it's a confirmation that the government was actually paying this creature to spew this delirious propaganda. So now they've suspended the creature. Well, because, you know, Senator Vance, J.D. Vance, was out there asking, I covered this yesterday, Vance was asking, is this transgender tranny propagandist creature who spews nothing but lies, by the way, I mean, talk about disinformation. Is this creature on the payroll of the U.S. intelligence services? And he's received no answer for that, just more threats from the creature. And then this creature got suspended by Zelensky. Apparently making death threats. I mean, we're living in a clown show. But other things that have happened that Ukraine should be aware of is, as I mentioned yesterday, the New York Times put out an article saying that it was a Ukrainian missile that struck that civilian market and killed, 15 people, injured 30 people. It was not a Russian missile. And Biden is not pledging any new weapons to Ukraine. And there are rumors that the ATACMS long-range missiles are not going to be approved. So Zelensky's not going to get the missiles that he wants. Now, there is talk that the M1 Abrams tanks, a few of those tanks, may be deployed in Ukraine. I doubt that's going to happen because at the very moment those tanks are deployed, they're going to get destroyed. And then it's going to be so embarrassing for the U.S. military industrial complex to see M1 Abrams as burning husks of partially melted steel, you know, exploded steel, sitting on the prairie grasslands of Ukraine because Russia destroyed them with helicopter missiles or whatever, or maybe artillery or mines, who knows what. These Abrams are not going to hold up long at all, just like the Leopard 2s are not holding up and the Bradley vehicles are not holding up. Russia will just take them all out. Now, on top of all of these emergencies for Ukraine, now it's even worse because Poland, well, let me just read you the quote from Polish Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Quote, Poland will no longer arm Ukraine to focus on its own defense. This was just announced. Poland is pulling out, will no longer fund Ukraine. And some people are asking, is this the beginning of the end of the Zelensky regime? If Poland pulls out, and by the way, there's a big dispute between Poland and Ukraine over grain imports and exports and some other foods as well. Poland is going to have elections October 15th, and the Polish leaders need to appeal to their people and especially their farming communities that are being strongly impacted in a negative way by the decisions that Ukraine is making with blocking, you know, food supply chains. And so as a result, Ukraine is not very popular with Polish farmers. And so the Polish leaders are saying, no, we're not going to supply Ukraine with any more weapons. It's done. And the president of Poland, Duda, said, quote, Ukraine is behaving like a drowning person clinging to anything available. I mean, those are some harsh words, folks. And he continues, quote, a drowning person is extremely dangerous, capable of pulling you down to the depths. Simply drown the rescuer. I mean, that's the metaphor he's using. That if Poland helps Ukraine any more, that Ukraine could cause catastrophic consequences for Poland. And he's probably correct about that, given that Ukraine appears to be on its last legs in this conflict. And I would not be surprised if Zelensky is taken out by his own intelligence people before Christmas. I think Zelensky doesn't live to see 2024. That's my guess. I don't have 100% confidence in that prediction, but pretty high confidence. Let's say 70% that Zelensky doesn't live to see New Year's Day, or at least not in power. He'll be removed from power or assassinated, or there'll be an accident or something like that, because Zelensky has become a liability to his own people, and he's not convincing enough, even though he's an actor, even though he's been playing the role and wearing the clothes and he's going on the begging tour to the United States. He's not convincing enough, and they're not making much progress on the counteroffensive. I mean, what's Zelensky supposed to do? Show up in the U.S., say, oh, I need just a few tens of billions of dollars more. That's all. And then the senators are asking, well, what's your progress? And he'll say, well, we planted a flag on the edge of this destroyed village. And then we ran away. We did that a couple times. And the senator's like, well, did you make it to the Sea of Azov? Did you break through the multiple layers of Russian defenses and the dragon's teeth? Did you use all of our money and weapons effectively to defeat Russia and take back Crimea and send the Russians scurrying eastward back to the motherland? Did you do that? And Zelensky is like, no. We landed some boats on some abandoned islands and took pictures of our flags there and then ran away. And again, the senators are going to be, well, why are we funding you? We're supposed to be funding you to achieve results. You're not getting results. You know, this conversation is over. That's really where this is at. And believe me, the entire country of Ukraine is financially supported by the United States dollar right now, by just freshly printed money sent over to Ukraine to cover everything. All the salaries of government employees, infrastructure maintenance, obviously everything involved in military, you know, food supplies, all of it. It's all funded by the United States right now using printed money. If that money stops, Ukraine collapses in probably less than 2 weeks. And it's possible that Russia is waiting for that to happen. And then you can see Russia pushing aggressively westward as the Zelensky regime collapses, the Ukrainian military collapses, the Ukrainian economy collapses, and then it's a real disaster. So the United States has created this unwinnable situation where Ukraine can't beat Russia militarily, but if Ukraine gives in and surrenders, then all is lost and Russia probably takes over everything all the way to Kiev. Russia doesn't want Western Ukraine, but it could probably take a lot more territory than it currently holds. And then what? What would the U.S. do then? Well, the U.S. would have been handed another defeat militarily. And that would cause other nations around the world looking at this to say, wow, the United States really cannot project power around the world anymore. Maybe we shouldn't be using these dollars any longer. And BRICS is looking pretty good right now. You know, the U.S. is appearing totally weak and frail, and it's got $33 trillion in debt, and its military doesn't function, and its leader has got dementia or Alzheimer's or something. He has no idea where he is. It's all designed to make America look weak, and it's working. America looks embarrassingly incompetent right now. Thank you, Victoria Nuland. You hate-filled, racist, genocidal lunatic. And remember how Jack Posobiec was placed on the Ukraine kill list? Talked about that yesterday. You know how Ukraine's running this secret kill list that includes Scott Ritter and Tulsi Gabbard and I don't know, a few other people. Well, Jack Posobiec was placed on that list. And now Posobiec authored or co-authored this story that just ran 2 days ago, 3 days ago on Human Events. Here it is. Video leak. Arrested child trafficker admits to a boarding school being used as a front for organ harvesting network in Ukraine. So this is a trafficker caught on the Ukraine-Slovakian border. He admits he had higher involvement in the trafficking of kids from a boarding school in Perechin, Ukraine, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. An ex-teacher and current child trafficker. There's a strange career path for you. What do you do for a living? Well, I used to be a teacher. Now he's a child trafficker, you know. He's 43 years old. He had allegedly given a $1,000 down payment for an 11-month-old baby. Did you know that? Did you know you can buy babies in Ukraine for $1,000? He was arrested on the Ukraine-Slovakian border and put in prison. His cellmate recorded a video where he admits and exposes more child trafficking that he was involved in at the school that he taught at. He said they were involved in child trafficking activities under a, quote, charity organization. Well, we know that. I mean, how many of these, you know, rescue charities in, especially in parts of Europe, are actually just child trafficking, you know, cover stories? He says the charity worked with orphan students at a boarding school in Perechin, Ukraine. According to him, many of these trips for students went to places such as Holland, Germany, Italy, or America. Lawyers working with the traffickers would falsify documents of the students' travel, and then some were allegedly, quote, adopted. In reality, children and students of the boarding school were taken out for organ transplantation. He says, if 25 children were taken out, only 23 returned. I guess 2 out of 25 get their organs harvested. Students started asking questions about where the other orphans had gone. Hey, why is Joey missing over here? Children were selected for organ transplants. They were mostly orphans who had no parents. Some of them had not returned. To this day, it is not known where they are. Yeah, because they're dead. They're in a ditch somewhere because it's an organ harvesting operation. And then he says that one police officer with the name Sasha had allegedly taken several girls from the school on a regular basis, saw him take 2 girls constantly. He would take them in the evening and then return them in the morning. For like an overnight field trip at the police officer's home. Yeah, what What do you think's going on there? Sick. So I ask yet again, is this what we are funding? This in Ukraine? This kind of operation? Now, I know this isn't limited to Ukraine. I know that child trafficking takes place all over the United States as well. But all the more reason why we need resources here at home to stop the border trafficking, by the way, which of course the Biden regime refuses to do. But why are we funding a corrupt Zelensky regime that doesn't believe in freedom of speech? They've imprisoned Gonzalo Lira for speech crimes. They've canceled elections. They've canceled independent media. There's no press allowed other than government-run press. And they're allowing, apparently, organ harvesting and systemic child rape operations to take place in the country as part of a child trafficking network that's being reported here by humanevents.com. Is this the kind of country that U.S. taxpayers should be supporting? Really? Oh, and don't forget, their spokesperson is a tranny creature. Now, Breitbart covered the suspension of this tranny creature. Ukraine's transgender spokesperson suspended by the military. What? As U.S. citizen journalist still remains behind bars. They're talking about Gonzalo Lira there. On social media, the TDF, which is the Territorial Defense Forces of Ukraine, they announced that they've suspended the tranny creature. Quote, the statements of a junior sergeant, and then they give the name, were not approved by the command of the TDF or the command of the AFU. When conducting military operations against the aggressor, the Defense Forces of Ukraine strictly observe the norms of international humanitarian law. Laughably stated by a government that has imprisoned Gonzalo Lira, among other people, for so-called speech crimes. I mean, were they not aware that this tranny creature was out there making these death threats against people? I mean, how was this even allowed? And why is this tranny creature merely suspended, not, you know, charged with crimes or permanently fired, you know? Why just suspended? And isn't it interesting that this horrifying demonic creature was allowed to be the spokes creature for the Ukrainian military for so long, as if it's a great fit for them? I mean, you look at this creature, you're like, that's Satan. And apparently the Ukrainian military took a look at this person and were like, yeah, that demonic creature represents what we're all about too. And they thought that was awesome, you know, until the creature went a little bit too far, I guess. You know, Zelensky was probably like, yeah, this person's a great fit, because Zelensky himself is LGBT, right? I mean, this is the LGBT demonic corruption authoritarian regime here. And that's what we're funding? I mean, no wonder more members of Congress are pulling out and saying, we refuse to fund this insanity. And with Poland pulling out, and by the way, Germany's having second thoughts about all this too. I think that things are turning very rapidly. And I think that there's a danger of real desperation on the part of Ukraine, that they may pull something truly dangerous, bizarre, probably with the help of the United States. And it could be a nuclear false flag that I've been warning about. It could be in the Black Sea or elsewhere. But there is a tipping point of desperation that has been reached. And my concern is that they are now willing to set off nukes or to deploy biological weapons to do whatever it takes to blame Russia and try to get the American people and Congress behind more funding for the war. In fact, you can see this shaping up right now. It's so obvious at this point. It is abundantly obvious what's happening. There's going to be a false flag event, and Russia's going to be blamed, and this is all about trying to get Americans in line behind unlimited new funding to, quote, support Ukraine, but it's actually all about a proxy war with Russia. And the U.S. military and the military contractors and all the corrupt leaders in Washington, D.C., they plan to milk this thing for hundreds of billions of dollars for years to come. This is their gravy train, is more money for Ukraine and then kickbacks to everybody who's involved in the decision process. This is their gravy train. So do not expect the U.S. to do anything to support a resolution. And in fact, you should expect the United States to be at war with Ukraine sometime next year. I mean, with Russia, excuse me, sometime next year. Like in World War III. And recall what the casualty rates are going to be now. U.S. Army War College report that I quoted a couple of days ago here estimates 3,600 American casualties per day in a war with Russia. That's over 100,000 Americans a month. Okay? 100,000 men and women a month brought home in coffins and draped flags, body bags if they can find the parts. And you can bet there will be a media blackout on the coffins. You won't be allowed to see them. They will try to cover it up, because they're completely dishonest. They're lying to you constantly. But you're going to have a draft, involuntary conscription across the United States, men and women being ordered to show up for military service and then being fed into the meat grinding machine of Russian artillery. And the casualties are going to be absolutely horrific. And the cost to the U.S. economy is going to be horrific. And this is the path of destruction that the Democrats, the pro-war Democrats, now want to take us down. While, of course, they're imprisoning anybody who speaks out against it and silencing any voices of dissent, you know, to protect, you know, freedom, democracy. And while Bill Gates is running around cutting down trees. So you do know that October 4th is the test day for the National Emergency Broadcast System. And on October 4th, they're supposed to alert everybody on your mobile phones and on TV, broadcast stations and radio and everywhere else. Why do you think they're rolling this out right now? And the answer is because they're going to cause an emergency and they're going to use the broadcast system to spread fear and control people. And of course, probably to declare martial law at some point and crack down on your ability to purchase products, your ability to drive where you want to drive, you know, your ability to move around. You're going to be locked down in your town or city. They will interfere with your ability to communicate. There might be an internet kill switch that's part of this. There's probably going to be food rationing, and there will be an engineered financial collapse and probably an attempted conversion over to a central bank digital currency system where they can control your expenditures. If you don't yet see that this is what's coming, then I don't think you're facing the future with a sense of honesty. Because where we are now is something that very few people acknowledge could happen 4 years ago. It would have been unthinkable that, oh, government colludes with big tech to silence people who haven't even been accused of any crimes, right? Or that government puts out a bioweapon through the vaccines to try to murder people, to carry out acts of genocide and infertility across the population. A lot of people didn't believe that was possible. Now they do. And now you should be looking ahead for the next few years and understand where this is going, because the trajectory is obvious. And as we head into this, if you're not taking advantage of, you know, the solutions and the knowledge for preparedness and survival, readiness, all this, then I don't know what to say to you, you know? I mean, for example, just this October 4th with the emergency broadcast system, what if they plan to do like an EMP after that, an EMP false flag? What if they plan to take out the cell towers? What if they plan to take down the internet? Do you have backup comms? I mean, I should even mention the satellite phone store, our sponsor in that space. That's a viable backup communications device. The satellite phone. And or the bivy stick, the text messaging device that works through the satellites. If you don't yet have backup comms like this, go to SAT123.com and check out what they have. They've made it relatively affordable with a monthly plan that gives you minutes, and the phone is free if you keep it for either 12 or 18 months, depending on the phone, and then the phone is yours to keep, and you have all the minutes that add up and roll over, and you can use them anytime you need to, like during an emergency. I mean, it's a viable solution. But you also need, obviously, silver. You know, you're going to need some backup cash. You're going to need backup food supplies. You're going to need, you know, emergency medicine. You're going to need local radios for communicating with neighbors and friends who are within range of local radios. You're going to need all these options. And don't forget about Bastion, Bastyon.com, because that's the emergency alert system channel that we're going to be using. You can follow me there at Health Ranger. And even if they throw the internet kill switch and it takes down all the web domains, well, the Bastion app will continue to work because it's peer-to-peer, decentralized. It can't be censored as long as there's any traffic passing through the internet. Bastion will continue to work, by the way. So download Bastion. Again, Bastyon.com. Download the app, run it, set up your account, and follow me at Health Ranger. And I'll use that as my emergency alert system. Or get yourself a satellite phone. You know, get yourself junk silver. Get yourself squared away with what's coming, if you're not already. Things are collapsing rapidly. Things are changing. And you also don't know. You don't know who you can count on or who's going to testify against whom. Now, as another example of what's happening in this country, that I no longer recognize, is not the country I grew up in. We've got a woke church in Texas now that is having all of these disgusting cross-dressing trannies with a rainbow flag inside the church, apparently pledging their allegiance to Satan or something. I'm going to play some of this video for you. This is sickening stuff. This is the perversion of the church against God, against families, and the very definition of a man and a woman. They pervert all of that, and then they claim to be in the house of God. No, you are in the house of Satan, and you are agents of Satan. But let's play it so you can see it for yourself. Wow. There you go, folks. They want radical inclusivity, which means they want to include everything. Man-child love, arrangements, pedophilia, grooming, all of it. If you tolerate pedophilia, you will get pedophilia in your churches and in your community. If you tolerate anything, anything goes, if you tolerate like no rules, no boundaries, no families, you know, not even the definition of a man and a woman, if you tolerate these narratives, you will get the collapse of society, which is exactly what we are witnessing right now. And when you see a church like this, which claims to be a representation of God and Christ, when you see a church like this twist the meaning of tolerance and inclusivity and actually put on a display like this and demanding that everybody tolerate these kinds of perversions, then that is not a church of Christ. That is a church, in my opinion, that is a church that reflects Satanism. And so it is a fallen church, just like Satan is a fallen angel, at least allegedly so. That's my understanding of it. And you got to wonder what has happened to our churches across America.
Why aren't churches defending our culture against the pedophiles and the drag queens and the groomers and the transgenders? Why aren't they standing up and saying no? Why didn't more of them stand up during the COVID lockdowns and say, no, you're not going to shut down the churches? We have a First Amendment right to gather and to worship. The churches have failed us by and large. There are a few exceptions that haven't, but by and large, they have failed miserably. And when the church leaves your nation, God will judge your nation accordingly. So not only do we have these churches abandoning the word of God, we also have the rise of abortion. We have more churches accepting abortion and grooming and drag queens and transgenderism and child trafficking and pedophilia and all of that. And these are churches that will not teach the book of Revelation, by the way. They don't want to talk about end times. They don't want to go against the government or Rome, as it were. They want to control their flocks, control you, brainwash you, turn you into a woke-tard, gas-lit liberal that can be ordered to take the vaccine shot by your demonic church that has abandoned the word of God. How many churches promoted vaccines? How many churches went along with the masks and the lockdowns? Well, most of them, especially a lot of the big mega churches. And they were pushing vaccines left and right. Vaccine is a demonic instrument. If you're looking at it from a religious or a spiritual point of view, the spike protein is the anti-human. It's the molecule that destroys human cells that reflect the light and life and love of God. And isn't it infuriating when these drag queens talk about how you have to love them and they love everyone. It's all about love. But in their mind, that's pedophilia. For a lot of the drag queens doing the story time stuff anyway, it's pedophilia. When they speak about love, it's about their own selfish, perverted sexual cravings to exploit children. They call that love. That is not love. That is rape. And rape is an act of hatred and violence against children. And to those who call it love, you are representatives of Satan. That's what I say. How dare you speak as if you are under the umbrella of God and Jesus and the church, when what you support is actually aligned with Satanism and violence against children and human suffering and the ending of womanhood. You are opposed to families. You are opposed to the sustainability of the human race. You are opposed to people being living in the bodies they were born with, the gifts from God. And you want to mutilate children with your transgenderism surgeries. And the fact that you want to do that in the name of God, damn you. To hell with all of you who would advocate mutilations of children. You are damned to hell. And I won't see you in hell. You'll see each other, but I won't be going there. I'm going to a much better place, and I can't wait to never have to look at your perverted, twisted, evil faces again. Maybe you can rape each other in hell for eternity, which might actually turn some of them on. Who knows? I mean, they like to dress up like demons anyway, right? That's probably their... They probably already have like hell rape parties every Saturday night or something. So I guess there's other forms of torture in hell that Satan has come up with. I don't know, like being burned alive over and over again, and then your body regenerates itself, and so you're burned alive again, and that repeats to eternity. Maybe that would be something. I'm not sure how it all works exactly. I just know I don't want to be anywhere near these people on earth or in hell. Neither one. Thank you. When you fast forward this a couple years, you're going to have these probably Catholic priests just raping children during the Sunday service on stage, talking about tolerance and inclusivity. Oh, you have to tolerate this too. This is, you know, they're going to be pushing climate change and vaccines and masks and pedophilia and rape and everything. And you're supposed to just go along with it in the name of God, apparently. Let me tell you, if you don't know Jesus well enough to know that that's a false teaching, then you are truly lost. You should pick up a Bible. You should read it. I should do the same, frankly. So I'm not judging you if you haven't read enough. I haven't either. But the closer we get to Christ, the more easily we can see the truth about those who are false representatives of Christ. But even though I'm no Bible expert, I can see this instantly, and probably so can you, that these people in this church, these are not representatives of Christ. Far from it. All right, we're going to shift gears here now, by the way, thank goodness. I'm telling you, I don't recognize this country anymore. Nor does anybody who is my age. This is nothing like the world we grew up in. It's not even America, the America that we remember. This is some kind of dark parallel universe that somehow we all got sucked into, you know, one night while we were sleeping, and it, like a portal opened up and sucked us into this opposite world, this anti-world, and then you wake up, you're like, everything's upside down, it's all gone wrong. Yeah, that's the world we wake up in every day, isn't it? Not exactly sure how it got this bad, but it's getting worse by the day. Nevertheless, we have a bit of a lighthearted interview for you here, at least a practical kind of solutions interview. Let me explain it a bit, and then we'll jump into it. So it's an interview with a company called 1791 Gun Leather. And in this interview, this is the first time I've ever met the three gentlemen who are from this company. I've never spoken to them before, but I love their product. And in fact, it's the only gun holsters I've found that don't break. And there's a very specific reason why. They're very innovative. They have this polymer that's heat sensitive. It can be formed around your gun, but it's sandwiched in between two pieces of leather. So it feels and rides like a leather holster, but it shapes like a Kydex holster, but it doesn't break like Kydex holsters always break. And so since I found this holster, which I think, what's it called? Like ultra custom, I think is what they call it. Since I found this holster, I've bought several of them and I've formed them around several pistols. And this is what I wear now is their holsters. So I invited them on just as a goodwill gesture. There's no payment. They're like, I don't earn anything on their sales. They didn't pay me to appear. You know, I'm not an affiliate or anything. It's just, I wanted them to come on and talk about their technology simply because it works. And it, so far in my experience, has been very, very reliable. And that's going to matter a lot as society continues to break down and you might need good gear for self-defense purposes, given that, you know, America's cities are collapsing and the police are being defunded and things are getting, you know, more chaotic by the day, as you well know. You don't want to have a holster malfunction at the moment that you need your firearm. And I've had a holster malfunction, by the way. One time I was at a restaurant and I noticed that my gun was suddenly very loose, and I looked down and there was a big vertical crack along the kind of a curve where the Kydex attaches. Well, there's a Kydex piece of this other holster I used to wear. It was kind of a hybrid thing. It had Kydex on the outside and then it had like fabric on the inside, and where the Kydex attached, it was breaking, and it had broken like 80%. All the way down. And I realized that if it broke the last 20%, I don't know, the last half inch or so, that like my gun was going to fall out at the restaurant. And at the time I was carrying a SIG P320, which has been known to go off on its own, by the way, if it lands in just the wrong way. It's not a laughing matter. I shouldn't be laughing. That's a hazard, man. And that's a hazard that could harm someone and could put you in a world of trouble legally in civil court, as well as, you know, prosecutions. If you're wearing a gun and your holster fails and your gun falls out and it hits the ground and it shoots and kills somebody, man, your life is going to be horrible for years, especially if if you're me, if I did that, you know, I'd be blamed all over the media for killing somebody, which of course was due to the fault of the holster and the gun. But these kinds of things can happen. So my point is, number one, I stopped carrying the SIG P320. I now carry the Glock 43X, which has the trigger safety, because I was able to get the metal magazines from shieldarms.com, because I've had horrible things with polymer magazines as well. So now that I can get a Glock 43X with metal magazines that carry 15 rounds, and again, shieldarms.com, by the way, if you want to get these mags for yourself, and use discount code RANGER there, and they'll give you discounts. That's a discount I negotiated for you at shieldarms.com. I don't get paid, by the way, anything on the discount. That's just for you to enjoy. But so I carry the Glock 43X in this holster from 1791 Gun Leather. Now I feel doubly safe. I know that if I drop this Glock, it's not going to fire because it's got the trigger safety. And I also know this holster is not going to fail. In fact, what I found out during this interview is that this holster has, I think they said, a lifetime guarantee that if it fails ever, they'll replace it for you. But I can't see this thing failing because it doesn't have any screws. It doesn't have any Kydex. There's almost nothing that can fail on it unless the stitching is bad, but the stitching is good. So that's the backstory. I've been using these holsters for quite some time here, a few months, and I'm really satisfied with them. I've been, you know, I carry all day, every day, while I'm driving, while I'm working, sometimes while I'm exercising, you know, just depends on what's going on. I'm working with animals, you know, working on the ranch or moving firewood or whatever the case may be, right? Working on the tractor. I've always got my sidearm. And then sometimes the gun catches on something and it puts extra pressure on that holster. But this holster has held up very nicely. So that's the backstory. That's why I invited them on. But I just want to be clear, this is not a paid advertisement. It's not an endorsement. I don't earn anything, nothing like that. I don't even have a discount code for you. It's just that these guys have come up with something that's a game changer for holsters. And the thing is, you can form it to fit any pistol because it's a heat-sensitive material sandwiched between the leather. And so you can make it fit your gun and your light and your optics. And if you change your gun, you can just reheat the holster and you can reshape it and it'll fit your next gun. And you don't even have to buy a new holster. And you can do that over and over again an unlimited number of times. So it's a no-brainer. What's not to like? This is the best thing I've found in, 25 years of carrying firearms. Or no, it's been longer than that, 30 years almost. So enjoy the interview. It's pretty interesting stuff, especially if you carry concealed. All right, enjoy, and I'll be back with you tomorrow. Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, and as you know, I'm a strong advocate of the Second Amendment. I've been carrying concealed for decades. And over this time, I have broken numerous holsters, and I've become very unfriendly with Kydex because I break it all the time, since I actually wear holsters during all my waking hours, including, you know, right now, every day at the studio. And I'm also very active because I live on a ranch, as you know, and I'm taking care of animals and I'm lifting small goats and I'm dealing with donkeys and chickens and whatever. So I end up breaking a lot of gear, but that's good for you because I've found gear, holster gear, that actually works and doesn't break. And it's an extraordinary innovation in the area of holsters. And by the way, this is not a sponsored segment. I haven't been paid a dime to bring you this. This is just something that I discovered. A friend of mine introduced me to this holster technology that has been working for me beautifully. The innovation is something you may have never heard of in the holster space because it's not a Kydex holster. It's not a leather holster. It's something different. And it's something that can be custom formed to your firearms. And so I reached out to the company called 1791gunleather.com. That's their web address, to ask them if they would come on and talk about their technology. And literally, this is the very first time that I'm speaking to these gentlemen. And we have with us now three people from that company, Romani, known as Rambo. Mm-hmm. He's the CEO. We've got Evan McNamara, who's sales and marketing. And we've got Alex, who's also with product development. And I've got my Glock 43X here on the desk, and I've got holsters on me. And I'm just thrilled to invite this company to come talk about their technology. So welcome, gentlemen. It's great to have you on.
Thanks, Mike. It's great to be here. Appreciate you having us on.
Well, I certainly appreciate the product solutions that you have put together. So let's jump into it real quick. Show my screen, guys. I'm talking about this Ultra Custom Concealment Holster from 1791gunleather.com. And this is a special kind of holster that can be formed to many different firearms. So I don't know who wants to take this question of Evan or Ramiro, but jump in and tell us about the idea behind this holster and how you came up with this.
Alex, go ahead.
Sure. So the holster started a long time before we actually brought it to market. I'm a bit of a tinkerer together with another partner that we have in development. And I purchased a product online that was supposed to be, you know, the strongest and the lightest at the same time, you know, stronger than steel, lighter than paper. It basically what it is, it's a ultra high density material, yes, that becomes soft when it is heated, and it becomes hard when it's cooled down.
Okay.
Right? So what we did is we layered that material inside of two pieces of leather so that when you effectively warm the holster up, and we've got instructions on how to best do that, the material becomes pliable and therefore allowing you to insert your firearm, obviously unloaded, into the holster itself, give it the shape that you want, massage all the different creases and particular shapes that your firearm may have into the holster itself. You'll be surprised how well it actually molds. If you've molded yours, I'm assuming you did. The inside of the holster will have every detail of the firearm that you molded the holster with. And that's in essence what it is. Something that started with a bit of a joke. Hey, let's make a moldable holster. This way we don't have to make, you know, all these different models. At the end of the day, we found that there is a subsegment of the market that is very interested in having a custom holster for their firearm. There's also many firearms that companies don't make holsters for.
That's right.
You know, people are still looking for holsters for those firearms and they just can't find them in the open market. And this is certainly a solution for that as well.
All right, let me just show the audience here. So I just took this off my waist. This happens to be a Glock 19 here with one of your holsters that is formed. And
yes.
It is, first of all, I want people to notice that there are no screws. There's nothing that's going to loosen and fall out and break, because that's been a problem I've had over and over again with so many other holsters. Even using some forms of thread lock, they tend to break and or fall out, and you find, oh, you're missing screws, and then you've got a problem. This fits very nicely. It's got very strong retention, but also it's accessible. So it's not too tight, but I have been active, you know, again, in a ranch environment with animals and exercise and, you know, of course, driving and, you know, buying groceries and all this stuff. I've never had a retention problem. And I love the fact that it has this extra piece here that sits up against the body. This extra, you know, I don't know what you call this flap.
It's a sweat guard.
Okay. But it's very, very comfortable. So I got to say, you guys, you hit a home run with this. It's amazing. Great job.
Yeah, Mike, when you kind of boil it down, I know it's simple as form. It's really, you get the retention of a Kydex holster, but with the comfort of a leather holster.
I would agree with that. And I love the fact too, that if you change your firearm, as long as it's roughly the same size pistol, you can reheat the holster, you can reform it to the new pistol, and now you don't have to buy a whole new holster. That's amazing.
As many times as you want.
Yeah.
As many times.
So it's very economical in that sense. It might be a little more expensive up front, but not that much so. But this must have taken a tremendous amount of testing and iterations of development. How did you finalize on this sandwiching of materials?
It did. It took time in really, honing in on what materials we wanted to use on the outside. We knew it needed to be soft. If we used a rigid leather, you wouldn't be able to shape it and mold it the way that you are with that one.
Yeah.
That's the same leather we use in our smooth concealment holsters. This product, actually, you're looking at the second iteration of it. The first product that we launched was an inside the waistband version. That one was, again, 5-6 sizes, and you're able to mold it to pretty much any firearm that's going to fit. Like you mentioned, any similar size firearm will fit in each one of those sizes. Then we went over and we did the outside the waistband version, which that's the one that you have there.
That's right.
That one will, thread through your belt like a standard, outside the waistband holster. And the third iteration of it is the same type of material, but a shape that would allow you to actually have a light, laser, as well as an optic. Those are also optic ready.
Yeah, I that was another thing that I thought was real interesting. So for my Glock 43 here, of course, I've got a red dot optic on top, and I noticed that your holster for the red dot, I mean, it works just fine with it, no problem there. I don't currently run lights on any of these pistols, but I saw that you do have holsters that are capable of that. And again, this is a common problem people have. Maybe they're going to run a stream light or an O light or some other kind of light, and it's impossible to find the combination of the pistol and the light that you need from typical holster manufacturers, right? But with your solution, you can change the light and you just remold the holster if you have to, just by dropping it in a bag in hot water. It's so simple.
Yeah. Yep. It takes about 10 minutes to warm it up and about another 5 to 10 minutes to, massage the firearm into the holster and give it the shape. We provide a couple tools that are provided with the holster itself that you can use to really, give it that definition, and many times modify the retention to the retention level that is, most comfortable for yourself.
Yeah. Well, again, extremely well done. Let me ask Evan here. Evan, what has the market response been on this? Or have you been at shows like SHOT Show? And what kind of feedback are you getting on this holster?
Yeah, sure. No, I mean, I think it's, and really how I was sort of introduced to the company when this product launched, I was with another company. And that's really how I got introduced to them, was through this technology. I was introduced to it. And so actually at SHOT Show, I went to go visit them. And that's how I got introduced to Rambo and Alex, and really explored the technology for a product that I was working on at the time. But when you kind of walk it back, I mean, it's interesting. It's, it's sort of innovation in a category that isn't really known for innovation so much around holsters, especially leather holsters. And so the market response has been really good. Back in 2020, when the product launched, Guns and Ammo recognized it as the Holster of the Year award, which is pretty
significant. That's a big deal. Yeah.
And there is kind of an education piece to it, that's required. Again, if you look at your general gun owner, your concealed carrier, your everyday carry, they're sort of used to what they're used to. So there is an education piece to it that's required. But again, it's very simple to use. I always liken it to molding a mouthpiece like you used to do back in the day when you were a kid and playing sports. And so we're really proud of the product.
Well, I think you should be. I want to bring in Ramiro here. And my question to you, Ramiro, is, your philosophy for the company, because I believe that gear has to work when it counts, right? And I also believe that we live in a very unpredictable world right now. There's more violent crime everywhere. The state of Illinois just enacted a new law, a no bail law, so that the criminals who commit murder and burglaries and robberies and kidnappings can just be issued a ticket and put back out on the streets. And so in this kind of environment, our gear must work. If your gear fails, you could die when you need it the most. So Is that part of the philosophy that drives you with this company, Ramiro?
Well, of course, when we created the company back in 2016 with Alex, the most important thing for us was to put out there that quality, that bringing back that legacy of tested, top of the line gear, which was little by little disappearing from the market when those traditional accessory companies were being bought out by big corporations and the product got slimmer or cheaper, started to be made in overseas somewhere. And you lost a lot of that, right? So one of our utmost concerns is testing once and again with professionals, with instructors, and with everybody in the industry to gain that consensus. And I think with the Ultra Custom, it was tested by editors of major publications, law enforcement, and different professionals till we got it to that point that we said, okay, it's ready to go in the market and it's going to do what it has to do when you have a difficult crossfire situation or anything you wouldn't like to be happening to you, right? So
yeah, you don't want a wardrobe malfunction or holster malfunction.
Absolutely. It won't happen with a 1791, I assure you.
No, yeah, exactly. But I have, like I said in the intro, I've experienced so many failures of Kydex holsters that it's almost embarrassing. They always break vertically along a curve. And I've, again, because I carry all the time. And this is the other thing that I want to remind our viewers. You know, a lot of people, they have a concealed carry permit, but they don't actually carry concealed. Or they have a gun, but it's by the bed or it's in the closet somewhere. Hey, that's not going to help you, folks. If you don't have it on you when things go down, then, you know, what's the point? So, and if you're going to carry all the time, every day, where it is, of course, legal, you know, I always encourage you to check your local laws and keep it legal. But if you're going to carry every day, you've got to have gear that works every single day and doesn't keep breaking on you. And I haven't had any problems. I haven't had any stitches come out of this. I haven't had any tears. The leather is very durable and quite thick. In fact, here, I'm looking at it right now. I'm just, I'm astonished. I guess my only criticism is your box is a little, it's a little dramatic. The hologram on the front and everything. I don't need all that. I'm just happy to have the holster, but the box is also pretty interesting.
Well, you know, at first we were trying to figure out how to let people know what it was, right? And I remember when we were figuring out what we were going to do on the box, I looked at a cereal box that my kids had at home. I was like, oh my God, you know, we could use something like this on the front of the box for the holster where you show it not molded and molded. People are, it's something so new. It's a novelty to so many that they can't visualize, you know, the change in potential shape that we're able to give this holster. So that's kind of how we went with it at first. The second iteration of the box no longer has that, so you'd be happy with that one as well.
Oh, okay. And let me also, for the audience, let me run through some additional basics, and guys, jump in at any time if I misstate anything. But as I understand it, you have, is it basically seven different sizes of this that accommodate, you know, subcompact, compact, carry, full size, and so on? What's the correct number?
So it depends. You know, we've got the inside the waistband versions, which are five sizes.
Okay.
The outside the waistband version is also five sizes, and the light bearing version is actually only three sizes.
Oh, okay. Got it. So what we're looking at on screen here is first the light bearing sizes. So there's exactly the three on top.
Yeah. And basically, you know, you'll go with your smaller firearms. You can see them over there on the left. In the middle, you've got the largest size, actually, which is for your P320s,
yep,
your much larger full-size firearms. And all the way on the right, you've got your, you know, for your Glock 17, Glock 19, you know, subcompact or compact, actually, firearms as well.
Okay. And again, to our audience, what's critical to understand here is these are not specific to one firearm. So here on the left, this looks like a SIG P365 probably, but it can also handle, I think, like a Glock 43X. And then, you know, the over here on the right, the Glock 19 can handle like a Hellcat Pro or other firearms. And that's the thing.
Shield, MP40. Shield,
exactly.
Just, you know, everything that is of that similar size frame will work in there. And I think especially talking about the light bearing, you touched on a really important point. You know, there are so many light, optic, and firearm combinations out there that it's practically impossible for somebody to come up with a product that is going to satisfy your particular needs.
Yeah.
So if you've got a firearm with a larger light and an optic and want to switch out the light for a smaller light, you can still use that same holster. You just need to remold it, you know, reheat it, put it, you know, inside the holster and use the holster itself to create that retention of the firearm. And you know, we haven't found another solution out there that is as comfortable and as versatile as this for all of the different variations that are potentially out there.
Yeah. I mean, here's even a 1911 in one of your holsters as well. So you cover the whole range. I also want to mention, you know, I've seen a lot of people, this is not, I don't do this, but a lot of people run oversized mag release buttons or slide release buttons. You know, people like to put a lot of extra stuff for some reason all over their pistols. And that can change the retention factors in a normal holster. But if you use your holster and mold it to the gear that's on the gun, then you're going to get the retention that you are aiming for, whatever that happens to be. I mean, that's an important factor. People put a lot of stuff on their guns.
Yeah, absolutely. That's another, you know, key attribute to the holster itself, especially with more and more accessories being introduced. You know, it's nice to have the option to be able to custom fit to your specific setup.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, okay, next question. Then you already mentioned you have inside the waistband holsters and then outside the waistband holsters. But I understand, and I have not used these, you have EDC organizers. So I've got those up on the screen right now. Also, I guess the same quality of leather work that you have in your holsters, but for carrying various gear. Can you talk about this line that you have?
Sure. Evan, you want to take it or I'll take this one?
If you want to take it, Alex, go ahead.
Well, just, you know, these products are kind of an offshoot of what we were doing. We were looking to bring another product line to market that would use the capabilities that we have. We use the same highest quality leathers and craftsmanship in each one of these. But these are more geared towards your, you know, DIYer, handyman, do-it-yourselfer, electrician, plumber, you know, the super at a building. And they're geared towards carrying a multi-tool, flashlight, knife, and other accessories that people are usually cramming into their pockets. And you know, these things tend to either tear your pockets from the inside, tear your pants wherever you're clipping them on. Yeah.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just laughing because I have the same problem, because this is stuff I do carry every day, but I don't have an organizer like yours.
We've seen a lot of people, though, take that organizer that you have there, equip it with a flashlight and a knife, and instead of putting a multi-tool in the multi-tool pocket, they're actually putting a magazine
that
in
makes
that
sense.
Additional pocket. So you're able to carry your firearm on one side and another magazine as a mag carrier, but with the additional benefit of a light and a flashlight.
That makes perfect sense.
A knife and a flashlight.
Yeah. Well, that's outstanding. So you have been doing holsters first and then this came next, or is it the other way around?
Yeah, holsters came first and then this came next. These can be found on our 1791gunleather.com website, as well as our 1791edc.com website.
Okay.
Which carries the entire line of tool organizers.
And may I ask, where are you located, by the way?
So we're all in different places.
Oh, I mean, where's the stuff made?
Rambo and I are in Florida, and Evan is in Virginia Beach. Our manufacturing facility is actually in Mexico City, And we manufacture all our goods with 100% American leather sourced directly here. Actually, in Kansas is where we buy our leather.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay, so you do the designs, you do the quality control. Leather comes from America, manufacturing in Mexico City, but your company is largely based in Florida. Do I have all that right?
Yes. Correct. Basically, well, Alex and I grew up in Mexico City. We went to American school for many, many years, played football together there. And at a point, when we were working in different industries, we wanted to do something with the craftsmanship Mexico can offer, because here in the United States, it's a dying trade in some sort.
Yes.
Finding artisans that can really help us to take it all the way, you know, make a factory with the different stations and without giving an inch of quality and craftsmanship, being able to produce 1,200 to 1,500 holsters a day, right? And also, growing up there, we wanted to give an opportunity to people there. As a matter of fact, we create most of our workers are single moms. We created a night school because a lot of them hadn't finished high school. We put some of them through college and a trade school. So we had this project to give them education there, an opportunity there, a place we adore and we like very much because we grew up there. So they get a chance to educate their kids and have an opportunity and don't have to come to the States and in an illegal fashion, right? So right. We try to give that social part of giving back in our factory.
Well, that makes perfect sense. And you don't have to sell me on the craftsmanship of the people there. I used to live in South America and I saw firsthand the leather craftsmanship, especially saddles. I met a couple of saddle makers there in Ecuador who were just extraordinary. I had never seen anything like that being done in the United States, not in my lifetime. And leather is something that a lot of people in Mexico, Central and South America, they grow up learning how to work with leather because it's such a functional material. And I would imagine that you were able to find people pretty readily who wanted to work on this, right?
It took some time, but we found the people when we trained them, and little by little, they became experts themselves. And we've got people, like Rambo said, mostly female, single moms that have been with us for many, many years, and they've become experts themselves in this art.
Wow. Well, that's an amazing story. Also want to mention, you've got, I mean, I'm just trying to go through everything that you offer. You've got gun belts as well. I have that up on my screen here as well. And you've got many other products, all of them made out of leather one way or another. Let's see. You've got the snag mag. You've got the tool organizers we've covered, rifle slings, mag carriers, gear, and so on. Am I leaving out anything, or does that cover it?
We also have some rifle slings as well, for a smaller, segment of the product line. But, certainly you touched on like our gun belts. I think that's a key one for us. You know, we make it's a little bit kind of thicker, sturdier leather than I think what you'd be used to from your typical department store belt.
yeah.
14 ounce full grain leather. And it's a really popular product for us, and we just get a ton of great product feedback on those belts as well. And it's really kind of a perfect complement to a lot of our belt holsters.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try that next because I've also torn up way too many belts.
This will probably be the last belt you have to get.
Okay.
To be honest, it's a super sturdy, thick. It won't sag. It won't stretch. It's a great belt.
Okay.
It's a gun belt. It's supposed to do that. So you can carry your gun actually safely, right?
But yeah.
It won't bulge. It won't bend. I've had mine for 5 years now. And I still wear the same one.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's amazing. Well, yeah. Look.
I was going to say, I think it's important to note, too, that all our products come with a lifetime warranty. So we stand by the quality and just the overall craftsmanship of the product.
No kidding. So, okay, if I ever have a problem with this holster, really, you'll replace it?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Oh man. Okay. Well, I'm going to push it to the limit. There's no doubt about that.
Bring it on.
We dare you to.
Yeah.
It's already got you. You see, I've been wearing it for quite some time. It's got a little bit of some body oils that have rubbed into the holster or something there. I mean, I've been putting it through the paces and a couple of them too, and trying different pistols with it. So I'm definitely going to give you guys some feedback. After the interview, let me give you my direct number so we can keep in touch. And I'd love to give you more feedback, but, here, I guess last thing I would say is, you know, how can our audience take advantage of this? I mean, do you have an email list or should they just go to your website, check it out? Or, you know, what's the best way for people to encourage people to try this out for themselves?
Yeah, I think the best thing to do, Mike, you nailed it, was just visit the website, 1791gunleather.com, as well as 1791edc.com. And then also we're on most of the social platforms as well. So we can be followed on social as well.
Okay. All right. Excellent. I will do that again, 1791gunleather.com. And I assume the year 1791 is the signing of the Bill of Rights. Is that what that's alluding to?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
The Second Amendment, getting ratified into the Bill of Rights.
Okay, perfect. Okay, that makes sense. I'm glad.
December 15th, 1791.
Okay, good. Well, as an American, I should know at least that much of American history, the Second Amendment. Although I think the governor of New Mexico doesn't know that part about American history, it turns out. But I just want to thank you guys for joining me. This has been fun, and I appreciate you coming on and spending time with me. And I just want to say, you know, I'm thrilled about your product. I also want to clarify to the audience, you know, we don't have any financial arrangement of any kind. I haven't been paid to have these folks on. I don't earn anything off their sales. I just love to promote companies that have solutions that work. And especially in this, you know, very uncertain time in our world, you need gear that's absolutely going to work. And these holsters work. There's just no doubt about it. If you get one of these and you don't like it, let me know about it and I'll pass the complaint over to these guys, but I doubt you're going to complain. I think you're going to love it. So any final words to wrap this up, guys?
Just thanks for having us. And thanks for being a customer. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thrilled to be a customer. And Ramiro, thank you for, you and Evan putting all this together, or Alex, I'm sorry, putting this together, and then Evan joined later, as I understand. But thank you for putting this together, for having innovation, that ingenuity for gear that's reliable. We appreciate you, and we wish you the best success in your business.
Mike, we'd like to thank you and your whole audience. Thank you very much for your time.
Absolutely. We're happy to have you here. And we'll talk again. Let us know how things go.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you for joining me, folks. There you go, guys. 1791gunleather.com. Really fascinating. This was literally the first time I've spoken with these gentlemen, and fascinated to learn about their company and their solutions that work. You know that, people offer me big dollars to endorse various products, and I usually say no, and I end up endorsing things for free when they work. And that's what this is. Okay. So I just want you to know I'm all about gear that works. And if you hear me recommend anything on this show or otherwise, you can rest assured it's something that is going to work for you. And that's exactly what this is. So check them out, give them your support, 1791gunleather.com. And thanks for watching. Feel free to repost this interview on other channels and platforms. I'm Mike Adams here, of course, the founder of Brighteon.com, the free speech platform where you can speak in an uncensored manner about the Second Amendment and other topics that matter most. Thanks for watching today. God bless you all. Take care. We thank you for your support. And today's episode is brought to you by HealthRangerStore.com. And we've got some really innovative new products that you may not be aware of that I've just got to tell you about today. The first one is called 5G Defense. I've got some samples here on my desk, and also I've got it up here in the store. Here it is. Now, 5G Defense is made of an extract of melon fruit called SOD, or superoxide dismutase. It's an enzyme that helps your body neutralize dangerous free radicals known as peroxynitrites. And peroxynitrites are formed in your blood upon exposure to 5G signals and other forms of electromagnetic radiation and exposure. So these free radicals can cause chromosomal damage. Of course, these free radicals can do a tremendous amount of damage across your body if you don't have a defense against it. And this is why people who live in, or one of the reasons why people who live around a lot of 5G towers or heavy electromagnetic radiation, they tend to have a lot more chronic degenerative conditions, by the way. And a lot of them are dying suddenly too. Well, I guess there's something else involved in that. But 5G defense, just to be clear, it doesn't block radiation because no dietary supplement can do that, but it helps your body naturally counteract the free radicals that are formed upon exposure to certain types of electromagnetic radiation. So check it out, 5G defense at healthrangerstore.com. We've had a lot of trouble keeping this product in stock, so you might have to check back after a day or two, or maybe a week or two, depending on what's happening with the sales. Also, now another product that helps your body detoxify naturally is NAC, or N-acetylcysteine. And this is a product that the FDA is looking at banning, probably because it works so well. We have our own brand now, the Groovy Bee brand of NAC. It's available now in capsule form at healthrangerstore.com. Now, we don't know how long this is going to be available, but it is available now, and it supports natural liver health and liver support, liver detoxification of your body. And then we also have now a new form of astaxanthin that's available. It's Hawaiian astaxanthin. It's Bioastin, that's the brand name, but it's combined with a turmeric extract with standardized curcuminoids and bioperine, which is a black pepper extract. So all of that together in one capsule, again, astaxanthin, the most potent fat-soluble carotenoid known in existence, combined with curcuminoids and black pepper, the benefits are extraordinary. Do your research on it. You'll find out just how good it is. All in one capsule. That's an amazing product right there that can change your life. Try it. Do your research, find out about that. And then finally, we also have new bar soaps available. We've got oatmeal lavender, shea butter, and green tea and peppermint bar soaps. That's the combination you see there. This is a new product for us at the store. People love it because we don't use any artificial fragrance chemicals of any kind. We just use natural essential oils and natural ingredients, all laboratory tested, of course. So you know you're not getting hit by heavy metals or glyphosate or other toxic substances like that. And these are great for preparedness, and they're also outstanding barter items or gift items. You can get these now. They're beautifully packaged. They're available at healthrangerstore.com. And I also want to remind you that if you're looking at food storage, we've got freeze-dried, certified organic, laboratory-tested in our own in-house lab with multiple mass spec instruments, ISO accredited laboratory, 17025 accreditation. We scrutinize our foods and our raw materials more than any other retailer in the world. And we bring you the world's cleanest foods and supplements, including storable foods. They're available now at healthrangerstore.com, ranger buckets, mega buckets, mini buckets of all kinds of different things, fruits, vegetables, grains, seeds, nuts, different kinds of kits and so on. If you want to shore up your food supply, that's the place to do it. HealthRangerStore.com. We thank you for your support and remind you that all of your purchases help support this platform for freedom of speech and empowering and uplifting humanity so that we might have a future on this planet, you know, after the globalists try to depopulate the world and mass murder everybody. Well, we're not so easy to kill because we have nutrition, we have knowledge, we have empowerment. And thanks to people like you, we have support to continue telling the truth every day right here on Brighteon.com and naturalnews.com. I thank you for your support.